welcome back to the Holistic Women's Health Podcast. On today's episode, I have Kel Cal. Kel is a mindset, life transformation, and empowerment coach for women. She's also a speaker, author, and host of the Dear Dumb Bitch podcast. Kel thought she was living her dream life in sunny South Florida, but in reality was miserable and living a secret life in an emotionally abusive and toxic AF marriage. In 2018, she made the decision to move across the country to restart her life and has since transformed every aspect of her life. And I have the rest of your bio in front of me, but I would love it if you could elaborate in your own words and tell us about your story and what led you to moving to Bali and the accumulation of this toxic relationship, and tell us the dirty details.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show, Alex. I am so excited for our conversation today. And yeah, once upon a past life in this life, I thought I was living my dream life. I lived in sunny South Florida. I lived in this beautiful house that I remodeled to perfection. I had a very successful business. I had six-pack abs. I drove a Porsche. I had all the things. And my life looked really, really good on the outside. But inside, I was miserable. And I was married at the time, and I knew that my marriage was not healthy, although I did not realize how toxic and abusive it actually was. But in December of 2017, my intuition took over. And I am a planner. I very much like to know what's happening now, next, and after that, and plans A, B, C, and D. And for whatever reason, that morning, I woke up and told my then abusive, now ex-husband, that I wanted a divorce. And I did not commit to leaving at that point in time. And things did not get better. Shocking, I'm sure. Things actually got way worse. And all of the abuse and control and manipulation and everything that I experienced over the years just amplified until around March of 2018. When I felt like I just had to leave, like immediately escape. So I got permission to take a trip to visit Washington. And side note, if you need permission, if you feel like you need permission in your life, you're not really living your life. You're living somebody else's life. But I got permission to visit my sister in Washington. I had never been to Washington before. And I went for what was supposed to be a two-week vacation, just to have a break, to have some space, because the tension was just at an all-time high within the relationship. And from the second I got to the airport, I knew that there was no way I could ever go back, because I just felt the most foreign experience, which was happiness and freedom. I could make my own decisions. I just had this breath of fresh air. And sometimes you don't realize how toxic something is until you have that breath of fresh air. So after the two-week vacation, I flew back to Florida. I was locked out of my dream house because I had communicated with my ex that I would be proceeding with a divorce. I was able to get access, literally packed my shit in garbage bags, filed for divorce, went broke overnight because my then abusive, now ex-husband, withdrew every penny from our joint account. And naturally, my next stop was the Porsche dealership because I could no longer afford my car payment because I literally went broke overnight. And then 2 days later, I was on a flight back to Washington with a suitcase and a dream of a different future for myself. I was broke in every possible way. I was technically homeless, but I was able to live with my sister, like straight up crash their family life. And that was the beginning of my journey of self-love and self-discovery, which is essentially the healing journey. And I was just determined that that was not going to be the worst thing that ever happened to me, that somehow it was going to be the catalyst for this massive life transition, and that I would change all of the patterns in my life and create a life that felt good and where I actually loved myself and valued myself and appreciated myself. And I didn't know how that was going to happen at the time, but I just held that vision and committed to that vision. And my journey took a lot of detours, which I'm sure we will get into, but that was really just the beginning. And it was one of the most challenging experiences I have ever experienced. But ultimately, it led me to where I am today, which I live in Bali. Like, if you had told that version of myself in 2018 that one day I would live in Bali, I would have been like, what do you mean? I have PTSD. I'm in a domestic violence support group. Like, no, that's not possible. But I transformed every aspect of my life because of this journey. And I had realized that I was the common denominator in my life. And if I wanted my life to change, then I needed to change. And I also realized that the most toxic relationship of all wasn't the relationship with my then abusive, now ex-husband. It was the relationship with myself. And it was in transforming the relationship with myself that my life actually transformed. So that's the long story, not so short version of how I got to where I am today. And, you know, throughout my journey, I realized that my true purpose is to share my experience and my lessons with other women. So I made that my purpose and that's my passion. And I created a new business and I now share everything. And I get to be a guide for other women and help them navigate life changes and the transforming the relationship with themselves.
Thank you for sharing your story because there's so much in there. And I know there are people listening who are probably also in a relationship that they know is either just not right for them or someone's being emotionally abusive, physically abusive, narcissistic. And I have some follow-up questions on your story. Yes. Getting permission, yeah, that's, we'll talk about the different signs of what it looks like to be in an unhealthy relationship. But if you didn't visit your sister, do you feel like you would have had that courage and that motivation to file for divorce? Or do you think you would have just stayed a little bit longer or never left? Or what do you feel like would have happened?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And, you know, even visiting my sister, I was terrified. I did not know if I was making the best decision of my life by leaving or the worst decision of my life by leaving, because you really are conditioned to doubt yourself in those relationships. And also, I didn't have a lot of self-trust to begin with. So I was already doubting myself. And then between the manipulation and gaslighting and all of the control and isolation, like, I really had no idea if I was making the best decision or the worst decision. And there was so much fear in actually leaving, but it was actually the fear of regret that allowed me to commit to the decision, which I knew in my heart and soul I needed to make. Like, we always know deep down, but we're afraid to actually trust that. And it's really, really scary, but it was the fear of regret, the fear of waking up 5, 10, or 15 years from that point in time and regretting not leaving sooner. That was something I could not accept. I could accept making the worst decision of my life and leaving a life that maybe was the life I was supposed to be living, but it was that fear of regret. And even if I didn't visit my sister, I couldn't have sustained that life. I just felt like I was drowning every single day. And I was, my soul was literally being suffocated. I was, those types of relationships, you're basically like setting yourself on fire to keep somebody else warm. And ultimately it just burns you to ashes. But then you get to pick up those ashes and love yourself back to life. And that's healing. And it's pain that teaches us. Pain is the greatest teacher in life. And when you feel like your heart is just breaking, it's actually cracking open and you can actually like dive into that and discover your true self. And that was really the catalyst to change every aspect of my life. And I've reached a place where I am so incredibly grateful for that experience because it allowed me to become who I am today. And it taught me the lessons that I needed to learn because ultimately, it wasn't really about that relationship. It was about me. And the relationships in our life are always a reflection of the relationship that you have with yourself. So it really allowed me to see and have it be a mirror of the patterns in my life that I was living and to be able to shift and change those patterns so that I could actually change my life.
And when you were down and having to sell the Porsche and have no money, broke overnight, how did you keep going when you were at that point? Were you like, like, where did the motivation come from? How did you just keep pushing and
I
envision that life of I'm going to move to Bali?
Yeah. I mean, Bali wasn't even on my radar at the time. Like, literally, it was just straight up survival mode. And I don't even know how I had like the motivation to keep going, because I felt like a shell of a human, because not only did I have no idea of who I was, I realized that my entire identity was attached to external things that were removed from my life. I no longer had my beautiful house. I no longer had my Porsche. I no longer had my business. I no longer had the role of a wife. I no longer had my dogs. Like, I literally had no idea who I was. And as much as I had no idea who I was, I'm like, well, let me figure out who I am. And this sucks. Like, I'm not having a good time right now. So let me at least make it lead to something good. Like, that has to just, that's really just what kept me going. I'm like, there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And at the time, that light felt like a train. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to happen, but somehow this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And I really just committed to the decision that this is my second chance in life. Like, this is not the end. This is really just the beginning. This is going to be like the beginning of this beautiful opportunity to create the life that I actually desire, create the life that feels good. And there was just no alternative. Like, I'm like, I'm not willing to accept the alternative of this is just the end and my life sucks. Like, I just anchored on to that vision. And I mean, there were days where I questioned myself. There were days where I was just consumed by grief and pain. And it was the most painful experience I've ever had, but I just stayed committed to that. And I definitely had a lot of support and resources. I was in a domestic violence support group, and I can still remember my very first session in the domestic violence support group. And I was there with this beautiful group of women, and they're all going around and sharing their stories. And most of them had experienced physical abuse. And when it was my turn to introduce myself, I expressed compassion for all the women that were there. And I actually said, I'm like, I don't think I really belong here, because I didn't experience physical abuse. And I was informed that emotional abuse is considered domestic violence, and that those internal wounds can often be more challenging to heal than broken bones or bruises. So I stayed, and it was a beautiful resource for me. I was also in therapy, working with multiple therapists multiple times a week, because I was not prepared for the emotional aftermath. I literally thought it would be as easy as moving across the country and restarting my life in every possible way. I did not understand the extent of the trauma that I experienced and how that trauma would continue to affect me and my present life and the life that I was rebuilding.
What did the emotional aftermath look like?
Oh, I was a shit show. I had extreme PTSD, like extreme anxiety, extreme panic attacks. I was not sleeping. I had extreme depression and grief. I had no idea who I was as a person. I had this like identity crisis, and it was really, really hard. Like, it's almost even challenging to put into words, because I didn't even know what I was experiencing. I didn't even know that you could experience so much emotion all at once. And it's like you feel everything and also nothing. It's this really interesting paradox of feeling so much pain and also feeling so numb. And having the support and resources definitely helped. But looking back, I realized that I bypassed a lot of healing. And part of that was a protective mechanism, because healing happens in layers. It's definitely a journey and it's a roller coaster. It's not a straight line trajectory, but I discovered, you know, mindset work and TED Talks were kind of like my gateway drug to like mindset. Because before this experience, I had no idea what personal development was. I had no idea about like personal growth and actually, you know, making changes to your mindset and things like that. So I discovered TED Talks and learning how to start making some of those shifts and changes. And I really used the mindset component to bypass a lot of the actual healing. And I thought I could just like think my way out and use self-talk to like bypass healing, but you got to feel in order to heal. So I carried a lot of trauma with me. And it wasn't until COVID actually that I really began to understand how much trauma I was still carrying and how that was impacting me.
Yeah. There's something you mentioned about having an identity crisis, because I know a lot of us, especially when you're in a relationship for a long time, we can start to lose ourselves and just mesh and kind of become one. So how did you start to find yourself again and who you are and who you're meant to be and really diving into your life's purpose outside of this relationship that was toxic AF?
Yeah. So the first thing that I started doing was just trying new things, because I'm like, I don't even know who I am or what I like or what I don't like, because my entire life revolved around my partner and I had no idea who I was. So I'm like, let me try new things and figure things out. And I also really started viewing the relationship with myself from like a third party perspective. I'm like, okay, so if I were going to fall in love with someone, I would probably first start to get to know them and maybe date them. So I started dating myself and taking myself on dates and really doing different practices to get to know myself and to get to know who I really am, not like who I think I am, not who I am based on, you know, external roles or external conditions, but really starting to get to know myself. And I started journaling because that was like the first thing I did. I'm like, I'm going on a journey of self-love and self-discovery. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to journal because that feels like something that you would do on a journey of self-love and self-discovery. So I got myself a journal and I committed to it. I even like wrote out like my intentions and like my objectives for journaling because I was so type A at the time. So that's basically how a type A persona does a journey of self-love and self-discovery. I had like my morning journaling of intentions and my evening journaling intentions. And I just committed to it and I just kept showing up. And the more I got to know myself, the more I got to really understand myself and the patterns in my life. But as much as I was on this journey of self-love and self-discovery, I was also using a lot of different like coping mechanisms to bypass the trauma. So I was recreating a lot of patterns that were still present in my life, because the aftermath of a toxic relationship is definitely a journey. And you can choose to have that be a catalyst to actually make the changes that will change your life forever. Or you can repeat those patterns, but you aren't just healing from the trauma of the relationship. You're also healing from the trauma that led you to that relationship in the first place. And it's in healing that trauma that allows you to actually transcend the patterns in your life and to rebuild and develop the relationship with yourself, which is the most important relationship that there is. And I missed that life memo. Like nobody told me, like, by the way, you're supposed to have a relationship with yourself. And not only are you supposed to have a relationship with yourself, it's actually the most important relationship that there is, because the relationships in your life are just a reflection of the relationship that you have with yourself. And life is just a series of relationships. We have relationships with romantic partners, family, friends, people, places, things, time, money. It's all a relationship and it all reflects the relationship that we have with ourselves. And that wasn't intuitive to me. It wasn't until I went on this journey of self-love and self-discovery that I'm like, oh, wait, actually, these things are really, really important. And they're all reflecting the relationship that I have with myself. And at the time, I didn't have a relationship with myself. Like, talk about a toxic relationship. Imagine being in a relationship with someone and they don't even know that you're in a relationship with them. That was essentially the relationship that I had with myself because I didn't even know it existed.
I just know there are some people listening that are feeling this way and they don't know who they are, a lot of us sometimes too don't even like ourselves. We can't even stand to look at ourselves in the mirror and say nice things about ourselves. So how does this relationship really bleed into all areas of our life, from our career to relationships? And it sounds like from what you're saying, we cannot get to that other side without moving through the hard work and like crawling through the mud and doing the trauma work, doing the childhood healing, doing the meditations, dating ourselves. So why is it important? And what does it look like for someone who's just getting started and is like, okay, I think I want to date myself, but I don't know where to start?
Yeah, it's so important, because developing that relationship with your true self and having that connection with your true self, not your ego, not who you think you are, but connecting with your true self allows you to return to the truth of who you are. And that's what this journey is really all about. It's not about becoming somebody else. It's about unbecoming all that you're not to become more of who you are, and stripping away all that you're not to step into the truth of who you are. Because ultimately, we are pure unconditional love. And yet we have all of these patterns where we aren't loving ourselves. So learning to love yourself is really about unlearning the ways that you aren't loving yourself. And when you become your own best friend, and when you have that loving relationship with yourself, you experience life differently. And I did not know that life could feel this good. And that's really why I do the work that I do, because your experience of life changes when you have a healthy relationship with yourself, when you truly love and respect yourself, and you recognize your own self-worth. Because life doesn't give you what you deserve. Life gives you what you tolerate. And what you tolerate is a reflection of your standards, and your standards are a reflection of the value that you place on yourself. And so often we attach our sense of self-worth to things outside of ourselves. And it's in actually recognizing that, no, I am worthy exactly as I am. There's nothing I need to do to prove myself or to have value as a human or as a soul. It's just a matter of seeing it for yourself. And all of this comes from our subconscious programming, all of these limiting beliefs, and the majority of them come from childhood. And we all have childhood trauma. And there's a lot of stigma associated around this. And I remember when I first learned about, you know, childhood trauma, I'm like, I don't have trauma. Like, I had a really great childhood. And it doesn't mean that you had a bad childhood, or it doesn't mean that your parents don't love you. It just means that we create stories and we create beliefs based on our own unique perspective of our childhood. And these beliefs then govern and dictate our entire life. So we basically have like a child between the ages of like 4 and 8 that is dictating our entire life. And what served us back then probably doesn't serve this version of our life. And it's definitely not going to allow us to actually live the life that we want to live. And it's in doing the inner child work. It's in updating our subconscious programming. It's in understanding what we're still holding on to from the past, because we all have trauma. And I used to think that trauma was like these like major crises, like you were in war, you had an accident, or you experienced something absolutely horrific. And yes, it is that. But it's also that one time in second grade that the teacher didn't call on you. Or it's all of these little micro moments that we're still holding on to, because trauma is just how the past continues to affect our present. It's the emotional and energetic residue from the past. And when we are able to heal that and release that, we're able to let it go. And when we let it go, it creates the space to actually learn the lessons that were present from those experiences. And so often people talk about, you know, manifesting and raise your vibration and raise your frequency. And yes, you can do all of those practices. But if you are carrying the shit from the past, it's going to be draining your energy. And it's basically this internal tug of war that creates a tremendous amount of resistance. And what does resistance do? It keeps you stuck. And I was stuck in that space for so long, because I'm like, high vibe, positivity, which was really toxic positivity. And I'm like, why do I feel so stuck? Why does my life feel like crap? Well, I was still carrying the shit from the past. And it's in carrying the shit from the past that really just keeps us stuck in our current circumstances.
Yes, there's so much to unpack with the subconscious. And how does somebody know what their subconscious is programming them to do? How do we figure out these different things of our subconscious is controlling in our life?
Yeah, and that's the challenging part, because it's the subconscious, it's unconscious. We literally cannot see it. You could think of it as like your blind spots, and we're basically going through life with like these blinders on, and we can only see so much. But developing practices that allow you to connect with yourself and to develop greater levels of self-awareness allows you to begin to see some of the patterns that you're repeating in your life. And the more that you can start to see these patterns, you can start to see what's beneath them, because the patterns in your life are always covering something up. You can think of them as blankets. And when you peek under the covers, you can see what it's really about. But it can be really scary, and it takes a lot of courage to be willing to see the parts of yourself that you've been hiding from, to see the patterns that you're living, because so often it's easier to make it somebody else's fault. It's because of this, it's because of that, or if this didn't happen, or if they didn't do that. But taking personal responsibility allows you to actually make the changes in your life. And personal responsibility is not the same as blame. And anytime you're blaming someone, you're playing into the victim consciousness, whether you're blaming somebody else or you're blaming yourself. And that's giving away your power, because you can't make changes from a space of blame. But when you can recognize your role in the patterns in your life, you can actually begin to understand them, to heal what's beneath them, because we created these patterns to protect us. They served us at one point. And that's the ego's job. People make the ego out to be like the devil, and it's like this bad, evil thing. And it's like, no, your ego is actually designed to protect you. It kind of does it in like a fucked up way that keeps you stuck, because all your ego wants to do is keep you safe, keep you as this version of yourself to protect your concept of self, and to keep you stuck in your comfort zone, which is essentially like a parking lot, right? Like, you're safe in this parking lot of life called your comfort zone, but you're not going anywhere and you're not really living life. You're just watching life happen around you, but you're stuck in your comfort zone. But your ego just wants to keep you safe. And your ego's job is to protect your subconscious. Your ego is basically like the bouncer. It's like the bodyguard, because it's protecting your inner child. It's protecting all of your trauma, all of the wounds from the past, all of the pain, and just putting band-aids over it and hiding it. But when you can actually like pause and get curious about the patterns in your life, get curious about what you're still holding on to, get curious about all of these aspects of yourself, and get to know all of these different parts of yourself, and really connect with your emotions, because life is always giving us opportunities to release the past. Every time we're triggered, every time we feel an emotion, it's life trying to allow us to heal and release it. But so often we just avoid the emotions, especially the uncomfortable ones. And I used to be the queen of avoiding emotions. Like, the thought of like crying or feeling like the negative emotions, and I'm using air quotes, because emotions aren't good or bad. We like to label them because some of them are more comfortable and enjoyable than others. But ultimately, emotions are neutral. It's just our perspective of them that gives them meaning. And when we actually allow ourselves to feel our emotions, we can use them as a guidance system, and we can use them to actually understand the parts of ourselves that are still holding on to that pain, still holding on to the emotions from the past. So you can almost think about your emotions as like a part of yourself that's like crying for help, trying to get your attention. And when we avoid our emotions, we abandon ourselves, which is one of the most detrimental things we can do in the relationship with ourselves, is to actually abandon ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And with these different patterns that are repeating, could you give us an example? Would that be always dating the bad guy? Or what would some of these patterns be?
Yeah, so a pattern could definitely be toxic relationships, or always dating emotionally unavailable men. Or it could be using different coping mechanisms. And I had all kinds of coping mechanisms. I used food, I used drugs, I used alcohol, I used work, I used all kinds of distractions to ultimately avoid the emotions that I was feeling. This also looks like self-sabotage, where we say we want to create this really successful business, but because of our limiting beliefs with money or our self-worth, we always find a way to not actually commit to what we're going to do. It looks like saying one thing, but doing another. It looks like telling ourselves we are going to start working out and taking care of our bodies, and yet we don't actually do those things because of our limiting belief systems that are in place.
I would love to dive a little bit deeper into your past relationship. And when I was browsing your website and just reading a little bit more about you, you were saying that there were all these little signs and little whispers that were telling you you needed a change, but you were ignoring them. So what were some of these signs, and was it just easier to ignore them, or why were you trying to ignore them and just stay in the life that you were in?
Yeah, and this is actually a huge part of the healing journey after a toxic relationship, is understanding why you overlooked the red flags, because the red flags are always there. Sometimes we don't know that they're red. Sometimes we choose to see life through rose-colored glasses and they don't look red, but I was just collecting the red flags. Like, I thought they were home decor. I'm like, cool, let me just see how many red flags I could collect. And there was, you know, even from the beginning, like when we were first dating, there were red flags there. The relationships moved really quickly. And for me, it was very much feeding into my attachment trauma. It was feeding into my conditioning in regards to what a relationship looks like based on what was modeled to me as a child, because that's really where we get our standards for relationships. It's what's modeled to us when we are children, and it is our attachment style, which is also established in childhood. And again, our parents, our caregivers, everyone's always doing the best that they can, but we create our own perspective of what we experience. And this is all subconscious, so we're not really aware of it until we actually take the time to understand these patterns. So there were patterns of control. There were patterns of the relationship moving really quickly, and really looking at my role in the relationship. I prioritize my partner's needs over my own. And I thought that's what a healthy relationship was. I thought that made me a good partner, where I was supposed to meet their needs and they were supposed to meet mine. But really all that happened was I was abandoning my own personal needs, because they're called personal needs for a reason, because you have to meet them, not expect somebody else to meet them. And there was just nobody taking care of me. I wasn't taking care of myself. I made myself responsible for the emotions of another person. There were no boundaries in place, but these were all things that I realized after the fact in recognizing my role within the relationship, because it takes two to tango. So understanding your role in the relationship is really, really important. And again, it's not about blame. It doesn't mean that you deserve what you experience. It's just recognizing the role that you played. And that allows you to shift those patterns. But there are always, always red flags. And if you feel controlled in the relationship, if you are questioning if you deserve better, yes, the answer is you do. If you are Googling narcissism, you don't even need to see the Google results. Like, these are not typical patterns in a relationship. If you are beginning to question yourself, if your emotions aren't validated, if you don't feel safe to actually communicate and express your concerns within the relationship, these are all red flags. And one of the biggest signs of childhood trauma is when somebody treats you like shit or doesn't respect you. That's a sign to pay attention and to get curious about why you're still in that relationship, not try harder to get them to love you and care about you, which is exactly what I did, because I was like, ooh, if I just love him more, if I could fix the relationship, then it's going to validate myself. And ultimately, I was looking for self-love outside of myself. I was looking for somebody else to love me enough for me to love myself, but that's not how self-love works. You don't find self-love external of yourself. And ultimately, people can only love you and give and receive love to the extent that they love themselves.
And I've heard the saying before, we date who we think we deserve. And if we think we're not deserving, then we can end up in all these toxic relationships and not value and love ourselves. So like you said, we're seeking it from this other person who's treating us horribly. Then we're Googling these things of, you know, what does narcissism look like? Or what does this look like? And it's you already know, you already have the answer. So what are some of these traits that we can start to identify if someone's not treating us the best and we just can't see that we deserve better? I know earlier you mentioned the control, the permission. What are some other things that we can be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I would say one of the major ones is that feeling of walking on eggshells. And you know what that is if you have experienced it before. And looking at, if you feel like you need to filter yourself or change yourself, or you're prioritizing the emotions of another person, then that's a red flag. If a relationship moves really quickly and they are painting this fantasy future for yourself of it's going to be this, it's going to be this magical fairy tale, and it's like the first or second date, or there's love bombing where they're actually just really trying to just suck you in to the relationship, these are all red flags. Like, dating is a time to get to know someone, not be planning this fantasy future together. And isolation, if they get jealous of you or your friends, if they try to control your time together. And ultimately, if you feel like you can't be yourself in the relationship, if you don't feel safe in the relationship, these are all red flags to notice and pay attention to.
And can you speak to somebody who may be in this relationship right now and they're just, you know, being controlled, walking on eggshells? How do they start to feel worthy of a better relationship? How can they start to transform their life and picture their life outside of this person and start to do that inner healing work of, okay, I'm worthy of a better relationship. I can truly date what I feel like I deserve and not just date somebody who you just got comfortable with and, yeah, move too fast, experience the love bombing and all that.
Yeah. And this is really what the journey of self-love and self-discovery is all about. It's learning to love yourself and accept yourself. Because if you don't love and accept yourself, then somebody else can't love and accept you either, because it all comes from within. And you don't have to know how. You just have to be willing. So I would start by actually using and developing some practices to start to give yourself the love that you have been looking for outside of yourself. And this could be looking at your self-care, looking at your personal needs and identifying your personal needs and starting to meet your personal needs and take care of yourself, because you're looking for that support from yourself. And the more that you support yourself, the more that you're showing yourself that you can take care of yourself. Understanding your personal needs is really important. Beginning some practices to actually connect with yourself. So journaling, spending time with yourself outside of your phone. We are really losing the ability to just be with ourselves. And this was the most challenging thing for me at first, because I needed distractions. I did not want to be alone. That was like my worst nightmare. But actually spending time with yourself is so, so important, because if you were in a relationship with somebody else and they were always on their phone, you'd be like, what the fuck? Like, hello, pay attention to me. Here I am. And yet that's what we do with ourselves. We always have these distractions and we're never actually with ourselves. It's really, really important after a toxic relationship, and really just always, to develop practices to regulate your nervous system, and also to develop somatic practices, because we carry trauma in our body. So it's in these somatic practices that we're actually able to connect with our body and to release what we're carrying.
What's an example of some of these somatic practices?
Yeah. So some of my favorite somatic practices are intuitive movement and dancing, and just allowing your body to just move and connecting and feeling in with your body. Shaking is another somatic practice. And this is actually a really good way to release emotions. It's kind of weird as fuck because you're literally just like shaking your body, but emotions are energy and energy likes to move and energy likes to flow. So actually using movement to release those emotions is really, really powerful. And this is actually like related to biology. When you think about animals, like if they get scared or they have like some kind of experience that they need to like let go of, they shake it off. So you can literally use shaking to just release the emotions and energy that we're carrying. Tapping is another really good practice, different breathing exercises, breath work. So anything that allows you to connect with your body and to release what you're holding.
And I find a lot of us who are on our phones a lot these days, it's just hard to sit still in silence and really reevaluate what we need and connect to that intuition. Can be hard if we're just fed all this information all day constantly. And so these are easy things that people can start to do right now. It's just move your hips, that intuitive movement, some hip circles, shaking your body, tapping, breath work. So this is all great. And how can we learn to start to trust ourselves again after a toxic relationship?
Yeah. So trust after a toxic relationship can be really challenging. It can be really challenging to trust other people. And it's easy to say, oh, I have trust issues, but really it's because we don't trust ourselves. And it's really, really important to develop self-trust because self-trust is the foundation for confidence. So often we think confidence comes from appearance or external things, but confidence is really just a reflection of the trust that you have within yourself. And trust is the foundation of any relationship. So if you don't trust someone, then it's really hard to have a healthy relationship with them. And after a toxic relationship, trust is something that needs to be rebuilt. Because within the relationship, it's this pattern of abandoning yourself. So if you're feeling abandoned by someone, you probably don't really trust them. So rebuilding trust is really, really important. And one of the best ways to build trust in a relationship is to actually keep your promises. So you can think of self-trust as like a bank account. And every time you keep a promise to yourself, you're making a deposit into that bank account of self-trust. So if you tell yourself that you are going to journal tomorrow because journaling is important to you and it's a really beautiful practice to connect with yourself, and you actually journal, you make a deposit in that bank account of self-trust. But simultaneously, if you tell yourself you're going to do something and you don't do it, you're withdrawing from that self-trust account. So if you keep telling yourself you're going to do something and you don't do it, it's really reinforcing that pattern of I don't trust myself. But if you can start to make these promises to yourself, and it can be really little things, like it could be, you know what, I'm going to drink water because it's really important to stay hydrated. I'm supporting my body. I'm taking care of myself. And also I'm going to tell myself I'm drinking a liter of water tomorrow, just as an example. And then you actually do it. You're proving to yourself that you actually keep your word to yourself. And the more consistent that you are and the more opportunities that you create for yourself to actually keep your promise to yourself, you begin to build self-trust within yourself. And you begin to show yourself that you actually do have your own back and that you are capable of doing what you say you're going to do and you can trust yourself. And that's really the foundation for the relationship that you have with yourself. Because if you don't trust yourself, then it's really hard to build from that. And the more that we say one thing but don't actually do it, we don't even believe ourselves anymore. Like, I'm sure there's listeners that can relate to maybe trying to create a new habit, or maybe they want to start working out and it's like, tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. And it gets to a point where it's like, you don't even believe yourself because we put things off until tomorrow, but tomorrow doesn't really exist. When it arrives, it's called today. So choosing to keep your promise to yourself today in this moment is really the foundation of self-trust.
And one thing I always picture too is if I started this 3 years ago, imagine where I would be today. So if I started trusting myself and keeping these promises to myself of, let's say, going to the gym or whatever it is, journaling, connecting with myself, then imagine if you had started doing that 3 years ago, where you would be now instead of saying, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. And now 3 years passes and you haven't done anything. Then, yeah, I like the metaphor that you used about the bank account, because now I'm going to picture putting little coins into my bank account every time I do something and follow through with something.
Yeah. And celebrate those moments when you actually do it, because that helps reinforce the pattern as well. So when you say you're going to do something and you actually do it, like, high five yourself, like, actually celebrate yourself, because it's huge. And it's these little shifts that change everything. And so often when you're beginning, you know, this journey of self discovery and self-love and self-development, it feels daunting. It's like, I got to do all of these things and maybe one day I'll be like my higher self. But it's the small decisions and changes and shifts that you make every single day. And just start with one thing, pick one thing that's going to help build self-trust by being consistent with it. And they compound. So you begin to build your toolbox of different resources that you can use to connect with yourself, to regulate your nervous system, to heal trauma from the past. And it just becomes a way of living. And you begin to use your tools more consistently. And it just becomes this way of life. But you just have to start with one thing. Don't feel like you need to do everything all at once. Just pick one thing and start there.
So much more doable than having that big picture and being like, okay, I want to move to Bali. How do I move to Bali? It's like one step at a time, pack a suitcase at a time, and it will happen. And with that, I am curious for where you envision this next version of yourself, or what's next for you, and what steps are you taking to become that person?
Yeah, I love, love, love this question. And, you know, the more changes that you make in your life, the more that you realized what's possible, because we really limit ourselves. We are our only limitation. And I know this to be true because I didn't believe the life I now live was possible for me at the time. And it wasn't, because I didn't believe it was possible for me, because you have to change what you believe is possible for yourself in order to change what is possible for yourself. So this next chapter of my life, I am a public speaker. I am a best-selling author. I actually wrote my first book here in Bali, and I just began the publishing journey. And it's just so exciting because I've had this vision of writing a book for so long, and to actually see like your vision and your idea come into reality, it's one of the best feelings that there is. And it's just so exciting to know that like it's all possible, but you have to believe that it's possible. And the more that you can commit to yourself and the more that you transform the relationship with yourself, the more that actually changes your life. Like that's literally what I've shifted my focus to, is making the internal changes, and that changes everything on the outside.
I cannot wait for your book to come out and to read everything, especially if it's anything like all this wisdom that you've shared on the podcast today. And one of my final questions before I ask you where we can connect with you, is there anything that we didn't get to touch on that you just want to share with everyone, whether it relates to this topic or not, or a book that you loved that's just transformed your life, or any little tidbit or piece of information?
Yes. Oh, I love this question. So I would say the biggest takeaway I would want the listeners to have from this episode is to really, really understand how important the relationship with yourself is. It really is the foundation for every relationship in your life. And when you actually take the time to build a relationship with yourself and to understand the patterns that are present in yourself and to develop greater levels of awareness and of consciousness, then you realize just how magical and powerful you really are. Like, you just are connected to the divine energy of the universe, and life just becomes an entirely different experience.
Incredible. And now, where can everyone connect with you and listen to the podcast, find you on Instagram?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram at I am Kel Cal. I have my podcast, Dear Dumb Bitch, and those are the best places to connect with me.
Amazing. And I just want to send you a lot of gratitude and love for being on and sharing all this information. And I know that you're going to help a lot of people who might be feeling stuck right now in horrible relationships. So just sending you lots of love and gratitude for sharing.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for having me on this show. If any of your listeners have any questions or are looking for support and guidance, they could send me a message on Instagram to learn more about my coaching programs. I have coaching programs designed to help women use toxic relationships as a catalyst to unlock their highest self and also transform the relationship with themselves. So if you have any questions or if you are looking for support on your journey, then send me a message and I'm happy to be a resource for you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode with Kel. There is so much to learn, and I truly appreciate when people can be authentic and share their stories. Otherwise, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this episode. Feel free to share it with a friend who needs to hear this message. You can also rate or review the podcast. And for more health, wellness, and lifestyle tips, you can always come say hi to me on Instagram. I'm at Nutrition Moderation or online at nutritionmoderation.com. I have also had a ton of people reach out asking if I'm taking on clients. So I currently am, and I currently work with clients all around the world. So I'll always have the links down below in the show notes. If you want to check out my services and work with me or book a free call, that will always be there. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you have an amazing day wherever you are, and I will chat with you very soon.